on Annenberg Radio News.
I'm the third straight generation in my family that's been diagnosed with cancer.
We hear from three African-American survivors and why women like them are less likely to get treated for the disease. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 19th, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. The County Board of Supervisors approved letter grading for food trucks and carts today. Now the same grades you see displayed in restaurant windows will be on your favorite eateries on wheels. Trucks like Koji, hot dog stands, and catering businesses will be inspected by the health department twice a year. The board also voted to hire local workers to build the new Martin Luther King Jr. Medical Center. 30% of construction workers must be from South Los Angeles, and some of them will have to be, quote, disadvantaged. They could be a convict, a single parent, unemployed for a long time, or not have a high school diploma. Local businesses owned by minorities and women are not getting as many city contracts. At least that's what some LA business leaders are saying. Our own Esther Kong went to hear their concerns at City Hall today.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and other city leaders gathered today to show support for the minority business contracting reform. This reform would award more contracts to minority businesses. The Greater Los Angeles African American Chamber of Commerce unveiled a report that showed small, minority, and women-owned businesses do not receive an adequate share of business contracts from the city. Gene Hale is the chairman of this organization.
We just wanted to point out that there were so many deficiencies, the lack of contracts being awarded to minorities.
This chamber proposed a reform by making a series of step-by-step recommendations to the city's leaders.
What the city needs to do is implement some strong programs that falls within the legal aspect of minority contracting. They need to do what is known as a disparity study that will discover any past discrimination against women and minorities, and if there is, then the city can implement some set-aside programs for those groups. It's just things that other cities are doing that the city of LA is not doing.
Wendy Gruhl is the city controller. She says city leaders will begin taking steps to improve the situation. She also says these minority business owners play a crucial role in LA's economic recovery.
I think what we're sending the message today is that in Los Angeles, small businesses, in particular minority and women-owned businesses, are the backbone of this city and the backbone of our economy, and that we're invested in their future.
The organization hopes this initiative will begin a dialogue with the mayor and open more doors of opportunity for minority businesses. Esther King, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, California Assembly Speaker John Perez gave good news to thousands of parents worried about paying for daycare. Our Rebecca Schoenenkopf joined Perez in downtown LA to get the details.
California took 100 days to pass a budget this year. And then Governor Schwarzenegger took his line item veto and eliminated all daycare funding for the working poor. Speaker John Perez was not happy.
He specifically rejected the governor's call to cut child care funding. The governor's line item vetoes were fiscally irresponsible and unnecessary.
But the assembly found $6 million for child care by reducing its operating budget by 15%, and Perez announced it to a happy crowd. It was enough to make one grateful parent cry.
I'm able to work full time to support my daughter, and I don't think I could have done it any other way.
After Governor Schwarzenegger took out his blue pencil, daycare providers were scrambling. Holly Mitchell is the Democratic nominee in the 47th Assembly District and works in early childhood intervention. Before the Assembly found the money, she notified the parents of 6,600 children that they would need to find new daycare.
So yes, we've been significantly impacted.
Thousands of parents got a reprieve today, but that $6 million will only last through the holiday season. Whoever is the next governor will face this issue all over again. Rebecca Schoenkopf, Annenberg Radio News.
For the first time, we now know how many children have died in the county family and child services system. After repeated requests, the Los Angeles Times got records from the past few years. The records show the number of deaths are up. Jessica Flores has more.
when a child is placed somewhere, they need to be followed up on. You need to do pop-ups. Stop calling and saying, I'm on my way over to check.
More than 60 children have died while under the County Family and Child Services watch in the last 2.5 years. That's what confidential records released to the LA Times show. The figures counter the county's previous claims that the number of deaths were down. The records show that deaths from abuse or neglect are up from 18 in 2008 to 26 in 2009. This year's figures may be even worse. Just in the first 8 months of this year, there have been 21 child deaths from maltreatment. The LA Times focused on one of these deaths. A 5-year-old girl from Inglewood was found not breathing in a bathtub in September. Her mother is being charged with her murder. The department has pushed to keep children with family members and out of foster care. There are 30,000 fewer children in foster care from a decade ago. Living Advantage is a program that keeps foster children records in their database. Eugenia Wilson is a program director. She says after working with foster kids, she knows the system needs to change.
When a child is placed somewhere, they need to be followed up on. You need to do pop-ups. Stop calling and saying, I'm on my way over to check.
Wilson pointed out that the newly released records on child's deaths didn't show whether most of these kids were in foster care or with their parents under family services. Either way, Wilson says it's not always the parents' fault.
It's within the system, you know. But when you're dealing with foster parents who have foster children, sometimes they need to know where to go. Not every home has a computer. Sometimes they don't have all the resources that are needed. Sometimes they don't know where to get them.
The department hasn't released overall statistics, and the LA Times article notes that the county's records keeping has been flawed. County supervisors have asked the Office of Independent Review to find out if the county is following state laws regarding release of the data. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Be thankful you're not in Orange County right now. Residents there are facing flash floods and even some power outages. But don't relax just yet just because you're in LA. Tonight we'll have wet roads from scattered showers and there may be some thunder, so be careful driving. Tomorrow will be much like today, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain. Expect a high near 67. Thursday it should be mostly sunny with a high of about 68. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a continuance from last week's debate. Are the Republican and Senate gubernatorial candidates in California bad for women's issues? After skin cancer, breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women. They have a 1 in 8 chance of getting it. Ruth France went to a center specializing in breast cancer in minority women and talked to a few survivors trying to spread the word to their community.
On an unusually cloudy day in October, in a sleepy medical building in Inglewood, a group of women who have suffered from breast cancer share their stories.
Glasses. I don't need glasses. Who do you want this with?
I'm the third straight generation in my family that's been diagnosed with cancer.
Mary Battle is a 2-year breast cancer survivor. Battle had a double mastectomy 30 days after she was diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer, the least aggressive form of the disease.
One-shot deal for me. Take them both now, and we'll be through.
The Women of Color Breast Cancer Survivor Support Group seeks to educate women about cancer. Marva Cobb's mother became a member after she was diagnosed in the early 90s. Cobb's mother found a community within the group, and when Cobb herself was diagnosed in 2004, she immediately turned to the group.
And I sat down, it was time for me to say my name, and I started crying, and I did not stop until the meeting was over.
Breast cancer affects over 200,000 women in the United States every year. A recent study found that Hispanic and Black women are less likely to get recommended treatment for breast cancer. The study concluded that the race gap couldn't be explained just by economic or social class. Doctors are still unsure of what exactly causes the disparity in breast cancer treatment, but there might be clues in the Women of Color support group. Happy Johnson found a lump in 1998 and waited nearly a year to enter a doctor's office.
You know, I never saw a black woman on a poster. Nobody ever told me that black women got breast cancer. So, I mean, you know, I just felt that, hey, I got a lump. You know, it'll go away. Something else, you know.
Johnson had full medical benefits at her job with the post office when she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. But if it hadn't been for her daughter, a registered nurse, she would never have gotten the care she needed.
And I just happened to mention it to her one day. I said, I got a lump on my breast. And I said, it feels funny. And she felt it. And I mean, you know, I could just see it in her face that, Mom, you better go to the doctor. And I'm like, I'll go.
Numbers indicate that less women of color are getting breast cancer. The study found that out of 662,000 women who were diagnosed and received treatment for breast cancer, 86% were white, 10% were black, and 4% were Hispanic. But breast cancer doesn't just strike one race. Johnson didn't need a study to tell her that there are a lot of women like her that aren't being diagnosed.
Not do believe, I know it within my heart, that there is a disparity between white women and black and Hispanic women.
Battle and her fellow survivors do believe that information is power and hope to continue to educate women on the necessity of self-exams and spreading the word.
Early detection is the key. And I'm just a witness for that.
This is Ruth France for Annenberg Radio News.
For the extended version of the women's interviews and to learn more about these survivors, go to our website at www.annenbergradio.org. Today, the Pentagon told military recruiters they must accept gay applicants. Last month, federal judge Virginia Phillips struck down the decade-old policy. She ruled the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is unconstitutional. Phillips will decide whether to continue the stay against the policy today. That's why gay rights groups are asking gay military men and women to hold off from coming out. Admitting they are gay could get them expelled from the military if the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is reinstated. It's only 14 days till the election, and the races continue to be as hot as ever. The last week, the Feminist Majority Foundation protested in Beverly Hills against what they call, quote, the extreme views of Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman. In an interview with me last week, their spokeswoman said these Republican candidates just don't get women's issues, primarily referring to abortion. But that's an idea the GOP Assemblywoman Diane Harkey balks at. In our interview today, she said that women's political interests cannot simply be boiled down to one issue.
Our issues are not just abortion and children. Our issues are finding careers and earning a living and education issues. I mean, these are all women's issues. Right now, economy is the biggest women's issue, I would say. I mean, to have the abortion issue be the turning factor for women, it just should not be. And I think, you know, to make that a woman's issue or the only woman's issue is just really a fear tactic, I think, for young girls.
Mm. The Feminist Majority Foundation seems to believe that Carly Fiorina in particular, her views are too extreme for California. And they point to the fact that although she won't introduce legislation to overturn Roe v. Wade and she won't require a litmus test of Supreme Court justices on the issue, that she's extreme because if something is passed or she will vote in particular ways that will limit access to abortions. And I was wondering what you think about that.
Well, she has an opinion, and to the extent she is elected, she certainly has the right to exercise that in a voting capacity. However, I don't see how this pertains to the campaign that she is running or anything to do with California voting right now. I think the biggest issue for California is economic.
So just to summarize your position, you're basically saying that we should focus on the big picture for California, and both these female candidates would be strong leaders for our state.
And that's what I believe. I do believe. And I think if we don't focus on the big issues, we're not going to have an opportunity to get any of the other ones right. Single-issue voting is not what we need right now. We really need an economic plan to get California out of its bankruptcy scenario, or we will continue to spiral down. And I think both of these women have the ability to look at a balance sheet, to look at a P&L, to read through a bond offering and understand, you know, the financial impacts of decisions they're making. And unfortunately, that's a very rare skill in politics.
Point taken. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it here.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you so much for asking me.
Oh, thank you. And that was Assemblywoman Diane Harkey of Orange County. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sales in LA County in September dropped compared to the same period last year. Home prices averaged $340,000 or 3% over last year. Most of the 6,000 plus homes were sold to bargain hunters and entry-level buyers. The study was done by the La Jolla-based company MDA DataQuick. The company president says uncertainty is keeping many buyers on the side. He predicted that when the market stabilizes, the demand will surge. And now we check in with Faye Lee to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Welcome.
Thanks, Madeline. Well, the new food truck ordinance was passed today. We'll take you inside the food truck world. And for another story, Mothers for Prop 19, we take you to West Hollywood to meet people behind the controversial marijuana law. And also, we have another story on the Homeless Connect Day. It was a place that offered free food and services to hundreds of people in need. That's all tonight at 6 on ATVN.
So did you go to see the free services?
I did, and I was actually able to talk to a lot of the homeless people there.
And what were they saying?
Well, you know, just that the economy is really tough and it's really difficult to stay off the street. But, you know, they're thankful that this was a place where they could, you know, get services, medical care and free food.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and make sure to check out their show tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision. Before Mark Twain died in 1910, he wrote his autobiography over the past couple of decades. His family released a couple of excerpts, but never the whole book. Twain left some specific instructions, though. The book wasn't to be released for 100 years after his death. Fast forward to 2010, and the pre-ordered book is already a bestseller. The first of three volumes will be available November 15th. Make sure to check out our website for more news around Los Angeles. It's also the place where you'll find extended coverage of the midterm elections. Election Day, by the way, is just 2 weeks away, and Democrats are ramping up their game. Bill Clinton rallied young voters at UCLA last Friday. He asked them to vote for his former opponent, Jerry Brown. Clinton also emphasized the importance of education.
You need to go out and tell everybody who is not here tonight that any college student in the state of California that doesn't vote in this election is committing malpractice on your own future for the student loan reform alone.
Hear the rest online and watch for our upcoming story on President Obama's visit here this Friday. He'll be at the University of Southern California campaigning for Senator Barbara Boxer. You can hear that story and all of today's stories on our website at annenbergradio.org. So that's it for this Tuesday. We had help from Ryan Nunez. Stephanie Guzman is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Cinto. And once again, check out our website, www.annenbergradio.org. Thanks, guys.